let's go into the mid-priced midfielders category, and then we'll dwell into the budget category as well. So
So this is our part two. This is our
yeah,
part two of
this
the
is our
podcast,
part
right?
two of our podcast, where previously we've covered the premium segment, and now we are going to start looking at the budget midfielders, which is 7.5 million or less. So starting off with one of the key transfers that happened this season, James Maddison to Tottenham. So Maddison is really an interesting pick, has always been an interesting pick for FPL managers. There are managers who have been lucky, there are managers who have burnt their fingers with Maddison. But for me, it was Leicester's performance on the whole last season, which kind of had an overall impact on some of the players associated with Leicester that we pick usually. But still, Maddison, kind of had a pretty decent numbers in terms of the price segment that he was placed last season. He had, in terms of chances created, third best for big chances created, and second best for goal attempts. So all this is kind of a combined 19 attacking returns, goals and assists combined. So these are kind of encouraging numbers, to be honest. Moving into
Extremely
team
good
like
numbers.
Spurs, yeah. I mean, moving into Spurs, it is quite exciting to see how he's going to settle in. He's still a very, very capable player. The only problem that he usually has the injury concerns that comes in his way. That's my only problem, but otherwise I'm kind of looking to begin with Madison. The only reason being their fixtures seems to be relatively better to start the season with. My only problem
Hey,
is
United home is not an easy fixture. Come
I have a very bad feeling because for some or
on.
the other reason, we've been getting thrashed or getting beaten by them for all the wrong reasons in the last few years. So I really don't want to take that lightly. That's going to be one of the tougher fixtures for United to start the season with. So for me, it is for the Brentford. The only problem that I have, as I mentioned previously in the premium segment, is the three away fixtures right away. In the first four, there are three away fixtures. That's the only caveat. But having said that, in the first five, they play two of the promoted sides. So that is on the flip side, to see on the positivity, a positive side of this fixtures, Tottenham has. So I'm gonna most likely start the season with Maddison, given that it's a good 7.5 million slot, considering the ownership is still not crazy in numbers, 15% or 16%. That's still a decent number. So any thoughts on Maddison?
Sorry, I've just had a small sneeze. He's a tremendous asset, and I think he'll have a very strong FPL season, right? 19 goals and assists for a team that got relegated, that tells you everything about Maddison, right? And I generally rate him very high on his goal scoring, runs, right? But if you look at the metrics from last season, he's there among top five in the chances created, in the big chances that he created as well, as well as shooting, right? As well as attempts on goal, etc. Right? So very all-round player, and as we have seen so far, Ange is a very, very good attacking coach, right? So someone to wait, someone to definitely go for. My current thinking is, game week go on, I'm not going to start with him. Brentford away is not an easy fixture. They are really, really stubborn in the defense, especially at home, right? And game week two, I do feel is a tricky fixture. I think it can be a good attacking, match where Spurs have the ball. This time they want to hold the ball, they will attack you. And United, like you said, can sit back and counter so well, right? So I expect it to be a good, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2 kind of a match. And that's just my initial vibes. But the 3-4-5, those three fixtures look golden. And my initial thought is I'm going to save my transfer in game week two. And game week three is I will know which midfielder might not have been a great pick to begin with, you know, or where can I fit in Madison, right? So my initial thought is Madison does come into my team, but game week three is where I have earmarked if he looks really good, right? If he looks like we are expecting him to look.
Yeah, not a bad idea. All right, let's get into the next player. So this is the probably the most key budget midfielder that I am excited of.
These are
Simply
mid-priced
mid-priced.
midfielders.
Yeah, so mid-priced midfielders, Phil Foden is what whom we are talking about. The primary reason being KDB's injury. Given KDB is going to be not available at the start of the season, that puts Foden really on the driving seat for me. He still had a very decent season outing last season. Again, 18 attacking returns combined, 11 goals and 7 assists. So that's kind of a a really good numbers for the price segment that he is in, with around 11% or 12% ownership as we speak. The set of fixtures that City are having, that really is tempting me to start the season with Foden. At least most of us might have three players from City. One obviously going to be Foden, the other one could be Foden, sorry, Haaland. The next one could be Foden, and probably one from the defensive side. But for me, Phil Foden is a definite start with what what we have seen last season and KDB's availability. Any thoughts?
I have Phil Foden in my draft. I'm not going to lie. I am fairly excited because he's a very good player. He's a really good technical player. Right? So, City have kept him leashed, I would say, you know, for last couple of season. He was among top three or top four when you look at per 90 metrics for FPL. Because I think towards the end of the season, he was just not used game with 30 onwards. Right? He was just benched to FF. So when on form, he does really well, and I think KDB's injury is playing a bit into his favor. And to add, today we are, hearing news that Mahrez is more or less going to Saudi, right? So earlier I was looking at him as a LCM 8 kind of option for City. Now he most probably can be a right wing starter where, even Bernardo Silva's transfer news is fairly strong. Yeah, I think PSG and Saudi, both clubs are, both areas are highly interested in Bernardo Silva. So something I think we have to wait and watch and see how City replenish these kind of exits because they have Gundogan leaving, they now have Mahrez leaving, right? And last season also they had issues leaving, so a lot of options have gone out and now they have to start thinking on, and KDB's injury is also there, right? That kind of makes things a bit easier for FPL managers. As things stand today, I'm just punting on Foden starting, and he's into my team, right? If he's starting, he's in my team. It's easy, and given the kind of fixtures that City has, I really want to double up on City because I think a lot of managers are not doing so. If you look at his ownership, it's just 11.5%, right? Fairly low, right? Fairly low for someone of his caliber, of the kind of impact he can have. So I'm starting with him, and of course, pre-season might give us a bit more understanding of how Pep does things. And community sealed match is also there, right? So these are some of the good things that we have. But in my team, and I think he's a fairly strong asset, especially if we are a bit more sure of his mates. You can never be 100% sure with Pep. I just know Haaland will start, no one else. But if we are a bit more confident, I think he's someone to start with. And given that 7.5 million bracket, right? You start with Foden and you know, hey, he's not starting. Why don't I move off to Madison, right? That's the flexibility we have. If you keep a bit of money in the bank, 0.5 in the bank, price rises are always going to be there. Madison scores a couple of goals, overnight he moves to 7.6, right? So just keep a bit of money in the bank and you can move around in this price segment. That's the best part.
That's the key. All right, that's enough about Phil Foden. All right, on to my next most favorite player in FPL, Kai Havertz at 7.5 million in a new shirt. So
And a new
I'm going to come
position as well.
straight and a new position as well. I'm going to come straight to you first to get your initial reactions, initial thoughts.
Not going to lie, when the initial news came out, I was just not expecting this transfer to happen. I just didn't expect, because because last couple of seasons he's been playing in that number nine role, right? And I didn't think at any point of time that we'll be getting in a number nine guy at any point of the early part of the transfer season, right? If and when Balogun goes, there's a possibility we might get someone in, but I was not expecting someone to come in for that question. The good part is we are, after reading a lot and including Onstein yesterday, you know, sending a detailed article on Rice transfer, which had a segment on Kai Havertz. Very clearly, we are expecting Kai to play in a role which is kind of an advanced Xhaka role. So Xhaka played fairly advanced last season, right? And if you look at the home matches, he was playing mostly as a second striker. You know, it amazed me, and he had very good, you know, goals assist. I think he had 7 goals or 8 assists or something like that, right? 15 odd goal involvements, which is
At
really good
one
for
point,
a player
it
like him.
felt like Saka is going to get you attacking returns week in, week out. It was that kind of a run that he had in between. But
And
yeah,
he
I
ended the
get your
season with two
point.
goals. He ended the
True.
season with 2 goals, right? So that's the reason I'm now a bit more excited about Kai Havertz as a player. And also because he's been in and around that position when he was playing in Germany, right? Not in Chelsea, but when he was playing in Germany. So there are some past, you know, there's a history around that role. He was playing as a number 10, but you know, the position obviously drifts around left or right a lot, right? So I expect Odegaard and him to swap a bit. You know, there will be a bit more creativity. One good thing everyone is pointing out is his runs into the box, right? He does a lot of runs, off the ball runs, which is a good quality to have, you know, especially when you're playing deep defenses, right? And Arsenal at home are going to play deep defenses. I expect him to start. How good you know, FPL asset he'll be, you don't know, right? So when you have assets like Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli, Jesus, these are known assets in the Arsenal team. I want to start with them, but he's a guy who can definitely match some of the returns, you know, given by the other players, right? So bit of a wait and watch, but I'm now, as an Arsenal fan, I'm fairly excited to see Havertz and how he's molded into this side by Mikel Arteta.
All right, so one last question before we move to the next player. So if Kai Havertz is going to play, do you see the penalties moving to him, or is it going to be Saka?
I think it will continue to be Saka because Saka is the talisman for the team, right?
All right.
Maybe at the mid of the season, you know, something happens, you see Saka missing a lot, and then it changes. But as things start, I think at the start of the season, it will be Saka.
Perfect. Let's go on to the next player. Okay, this is one of the most
Funny.
important players that I am like really looking forward to. I'm almost going to start the season with this guy.
I'm pretty sure you have told this to me for more than 5 players now. That's
No,
why you
the
make
reason
drafts.
that yeah, the reason is I don't have a draft. I have players who I have in my mind, you know.
Exactly.
These are the players. Probably I might miss out on Maddison probably, but Raheem Sterling, the reason I say Raheem Sterling is the kind of returns that this guy has given in the past, you know, the caliber of this player. He hasn't really what do you call hasn't scored less than 115, probably God knows how many seasons that he has been able to consistently return in such a way. So I'm really, really excited to see how he's going to flourish again, you know, under Pochettino. So he has a really, you know, had a hampered season the last year, you know, with so many managerial changes and whatnot. So I'm really, really excited to see how things are going to develop for Raheem Sterling. So is someone like Raheem Sterling at 7 million, is that really tempting you?
Yeah. It feels so funny to see him at 7 million. I just don't believe it, right?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
FPL messed up here, right? 7 million is not the correct price for him. He did have a really bad season last year,
Can you
but
take a guess when
Chelsea.
was he less than 7 million the last time?
I think it would be when he started that Liverpool debut season, right?
Yeah, it was back in 2013-14 season when he came in. He came in as a 5.5 million. That's when he was less than 7 million. After that, he has never dropped less than 8 million. So this price sounds crazy to be true, to be honest. That's the real aspect why I'm really wanted to look into him as an option.
I can understand the attractiveness, right? It's just that I can see my five midfielders, right, who are really good, who have been solid last year, who have good fixtures as well, right? So he's again in my wait and watch, that game week, the wildcard one watch list, right? I want to see how Poch utilizes him, how the system is, how he's used. Is he going to be a false nine? Is he going to be a winger, right? So many question marks are there when it comes to Chelsea. I definitely want to start him, but I don't think I'll be starting him at the start of the game week, at the start of the season. Chelsea do have good fixtures. So one thing I do, the thing that does make you think is Chelsea do have good fixtures, and he has 4% ownership, right? They are going under the radar, right? It's like Arsenal last season or last two, last but one season where everyone was not talking about them a lot given the recency bias. But without Europe, with a coach like Pochettino, with a team that Chelsea has, it's someone who can really explode, who can make a mockery of that price completely. He's a
Seriously.
9 million player who's
Yep,
priced at 7 million.
easily. Definitely. That's the main thing that is tempting me. We might end up having a very templatey start to the overall season. Most of us might have a similar set of players. Where do you find that differentials is someone some players like these. That's where you can try and have something
And my
different.
initial vibes is, I'm much more excited to see how my wildcard one draft will shape up, when the times come to it, rather than the game week one draft. Because the game week one draft is becoming, fairly popular now. You have 3-5-2, you have 4-5-1, right? And more or less, I think most of us have 8 or 9 names in our mind, before you start playing around as well, right? So I'm more excited for that wildcard one draft because I know we'll have more and more of such picks who can explore or would have already explored it. And we will be, scrambling in to get these players into our drafts.
Right. All right, that's enough of Raheem Sterling. Let's go on to the next two players. Again, similar to what we saw, what we did with Diaz and Jota. We're not going to dwell much into these two, which is Mason Mount and Dominic. So these two players are kind of wait and watch for me. I'm quite surprised to see the number of ownership for both these players. Moving into a new
Scans,
team.
right?
Yeah, exactly. So it is more both the Liverpool fans as well as United fans that pouring in here. But my concern is that let them gel in, let them get into the team, see how they adapt, see the position that they've taken, how they are going to adapt into this new role. There's no doubts about the caliber of both these players. It is only the matter of fact how they are going to sit with a new team, new setup, new manager. For Dominic, it's completely a new atmosphere as well on the whole. So
Yeah, new
these
league.
things are new league, new country, all this. So that's the only thing.
Yeah, we hear a lot of that Bundesliga tax, right, with players like Timo Werner coming in and falling short. I'm really excited to see how he'll translate because I was just looking at his FVref metrics, right, and I was sharing it with you. He was 99 percentile everywhere, passes, chances created, almost every passing metric that I've seen, he was 99, 98 odd percentile. I was like, what is this guy? Right? So, good player to watch out for because, like we're talking about in the premium segment, right? He might create a lot of opportunities for Salah by drifting it out wide, right? One thing I also want to see is whether he's going to be the new free kick taker or whether Trent is going to retain it because, again, Dominic is a hell of a free kick taker. He's a hell of a set piece creator, right? So those things is something that we have to think whether if he takes them off Trent, right, maybe he comes back into our conversation. But I'll be honest, I don't want to get a bit of anger from Liverpool fans. I'm way more excited about the United boy here in this picture because like I was talking about, right, I think Mason Mount had a 180 point season. One before last one, right, for
Yeah,
Chelsea,
previous.
right? He scored a lot of goals there. He does give you those assists as well, right? So very good attacking player, right? And United were missing a mobile creative attacking player because you had Eriksen falling back and playing that deeper role last season, right? So now you have a Bruno and Mason Mount pivot, you know, with Casemiro sweeping out or taking out players at the back, right? So I'm really excited to see from an FPL point of view, not as a, you know, Arsenal fan, but as an FPL manager, I'm excited to see how Mount does. In my mind, he can play that Odegaard role from last season. He might not take a lot of attempts on shots, you know, outside the box, but I think there'll be a lot of runs into the box where he gets those chipped in balls from Bruno and he goes on to finish, right? So in my mind, those are the kind of runs that I'm seeing. And that's why I'm excited about Mason Mount. Again, not a player that I will jump in at the start. Like you said, a lot of changes, right, for Mason Mount. It's a new team. It's a new setup. New players around him. And for Dominic, obviously, that's a completely different league. But 7 million price bracket. Again, these are very good players, right? So, again, you start counting the number of midfielders you can have. Because if you could have them, if you could have 6 midfielders, then a Mason Mount would have been my 6th midfielder today.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is the overall aspects that is surrounding these two players that's kind of putting a pause. All right, let's move on to the next category of prices, which is 6.5. Mitoma, I don't know where to begin with this guy. He literally was a sensation last season. You know, take it any metrics for this price segment. He was there in terms of the total penalty area touches. He had 199, which is probably ranked second, and total number of big chances created, the attempts for goal inside the box. He was always there in and around the top five for all these metrics.
And just to add, he starting for Brighton somewhere around game week 16. He didn't start from game week one.
True, that's what. Almost in the middle of the season, that's where he started off, and he went on to a non-stop run. It was crazy. So where do you see Mitoma this season? So is he going to be your go-to player? Given at the 6.5 million category, or how are you going to approach with Mitoma?
I see he's already at a 39%, 38.5% ownership, right? So already a fairly crazy ownership. 6.5 million obviously is priced appropriate. I mean, he's priced a bit decently, right? He's ended, I think, last season around the same price, 6.51, right? So I can understand the crazy ownership, but in my mind, he's an ex-lively player. He's a player who's very lively in and around the box, but he does not always give you returns, right? I remember, I think, game week 30 onwards last season, he had assists, barely some assists here and there, right? March was more or less, giving the same sort of returns from FPL points, purely FPL points point of view, right? So I'm not as convinced as the rest of the people are when they're looking at him as a sure shot starter. In my mind, he's there in my backup draft, right? I'm still debating between one more player and Mitoma. I think one player that we did not discuss much about is Grealish from City, right? So, because of the City fixes, I am now debating between Grealish and Mitoma. Mitoma has a very good start. You know, game week one, he's the player to have. I think Luton City at home. I expect Brighton to blow them away, and you expect Mitoma to have a brace. And that's the reason it makes sense to perhaps start with him. Maybe hold on game week two, just see him out game week two, and then decide game week three. Again, one of those players which you can move around to someone else.
Right.
He's not as glue for me as most managers have. 40% ownership is crazy. I don't think he's that kind of a FPL asset to have. He's a very good, very good player, I would say. But from a pure FPL point of view, I'm not as convinced as others.
All right. Let's make it quick. Let's move on to other important and interesting pick. Mbeumo. So, a positional change. A team without their talisman from last season. So, what do you expect from Mbeumo going into this season?
I have a lot of bias when it comes to Mbeumo. And I have to just acknowledge it, right? I was When initially I saw everyone having Mbeumo in the draft, I'm like, crazy, how is this guy so popular? That was in my mind, you know, a couple of seasons back when he hit, I think, woodwork 7 consecutive times or something, right? He had a record. He was just hitting woodwork, right? So in my mind, it's the same guy.
I was going to mention that if there is no woodwork, then probably you'll see that number going even more crazy.
Yeah, but I think last season we got a fairly good look into how good a player he can be, right? And there were some matches he played without Tony, which he really did well. I think there were fixtures against Tottenham, fixtures against Liverpool or City. I think a lot of fixtures that he did really stand out, good, strong fixtures. And that's the reason I don't think it's a bad pick anymore. 6.5 million is a good price. He's a Brentford player. He'll not be your number nine for sure. A lot of people are thinking of number nine, but Brentford have, I think, shelled out a record transfer for a Bundesliga guy. I forgot his name, some Skad, Kevin Skad or something like that. And while he was on loan last season for them, he was bedded into the team. And this season, they have already purchased him for 25 odd million. So I expect that guy to start at a number nine point of view. And I think Mbeumo does well. I think he's fairly similar to Rashford as a player, right? He does a lot of drift-ins from the left side. He gets into cuts in. He gets closer to goal, and he's a decent finisher, at least on evidence from last season, right? So, interesting FPL asset, not in my team. Again, someone to wait and watch kind of for me, but there are a lot of managers who are starting with him because I think when you do no more draft, right, you can go for all those 8 million, 8.5 million guys, right, who we all are jumping on. But if you want to go for someone like Mo Salah into your, and Haaland into your team, you'll have to start balancing with someone in this 6.5 million price bracket. And Mbeumo stands out like, you know, Mitoma does in the price bracket. And I think that is playing into his ownership currently, the numbers that we are seeing.
True. Yeah. Rightly said. All right, let's get into the next player. It is Eze from Crystal Palace, 6.5 million, 12% ownership. Again, another player who really performed or had a good season last time out. You know, eighth for total chances created. Ranked joint third for 7 big chances, fourth for attempts in goal, second for goal involvement, all that good stuff. Where do you see Eze? Given that there's hardly any news, or should we assume that there is not going to be a managerial change, and they are
That
also starting.
that's more or less fixed. More or less, I
Yeah.
think they have already given a contract offer, extension offer,
Right.
and coach should be seen.
Right. So given that they're also starting the season with a promoted side, going away to Sheffield United, how do you see Eze fitting into our FPL teams?
I ended last season with Eze. I think I had him for last 4 or 5 game weeks. He did really well. When I was ending last season, I was fairly certain I'll start with Eze this year, right? He's not in my draft. But he's a very, very good player. And especially if Zaha doesn't play, right? I really like Eze when Zaha doesn't play. Because I think he goes on far more advanced. He takes on a lot of opportunities. And those distribution, right? It does not become Zaha-centric, which generally it happens with Palace, right? And that's the reason I feel it's a good pick. Fixtures, like you said, the starting with good fixtures, right? He's a wait and watch for my own draft, but if someone is starting with Eze, I won't complain. He has a 12% ownership. I think even if it's 15 to 20%, it's fair. The kind of player he is, he's a good player, and it's just that how Palace will shape up, right? They ended last season really well, but it was a lot of post Vieira, freedom which had been given to the
Right.
team. Will that continue? I don't know. And for me, the major doubt is with respect to Palace. How are they going to start this season? It might be our bias against the manager because when he came in, all of us were like, "Hey, what a signing! You know, what did Palace do?" And then suddenly, Palace actually blew things up and they did so well to end the season. And so I don't know what to expect from Palace, to be honest. That's the only reason I don't have Eze in my team. Else, he's a fairly solid guy. Anyone has FPL has Eze in his FPL draft, I'll not have any questions to that guy because I think he's a good player to have. Is to start with at least.
All right, fantastic. Let's dwell into the quickly into the fixtures. Mostly we talked about the top teams. Just quickly highlighting, Brentford and Brighton fixtures. Brentford have, except for the first game, they have a relatively good set of fixtures thereafter. On the flip side, Brighton have a good start, but then they have, a bit of patchy fixtures in 4 and 5. But for me, it is Crystal Palace fixtures. They go away in the first 3 times in the first 5 games. That's kind of, not looking really good for me. The reason being, Crystal Palace was not so good last season on the road, but that is partially to do with the two different managers that they had as well. So, any notable fixtures from the teams that we haven't discussed?
Yeah, I mean, Brentford, I'm really now this tells you why Mbeumo is more popular than you would expect him to, right? The fixtures look
True.
really good for him, right? Brighton, like we're talking about, they have three really good fixtures, and that's perhaps one reason you can start with someone like Mitoma, someone like March, and then take a call game week 3 or game week 4. That Chelsea lineup, right? And we're talking about Sterling, right? They have Liverpool at home, which I don't expect to be a clean sheet for Liverpool. I expect Chelsea to score as well. And they have such a good run of fixtures after that. So if you actually end up with
Would
Sterling,
you
kudos to you.
do? Yeah. No. I was going to ask, given that you talked me into that, so would you start off with someone like Mitoma in the first maybe 2 games and then swap out to Sterling, given that we get to see what the team sets in to Pochettino? From there on, the fixture seems really good, right? For Chelsea as well.
Luton at home, Nottingham Forest at home, Bournemouth away, Aston Villa at
Bournemouth,
home, Fulham away.
Villa, Fulham.
It's a good way to plan it out, right? The only thing is you need to have 0.5 million
Oh
extra,
yeah,
and
definitely.
you never know with if
Price
Sterling scores
changes.
against
Yeah.
Liverpool. Yeah, this game week, I think 1 to 5, there are a lot of volatile price changes, managers jumping in and out. Because I think the first 10 game weeks is the game weeks, or first 8 game weeks is the game weeks when all the managers who are registered play the game, right? And then you will have slowly, slowly managers dropping off. And that's the reason it's very volatile out, starting at the front. But if you have a 7.5 million guy in your team, it's easier for you to drop down to someone like Sterling as well.
All right. So quickly on the budget midfielders, this is not going to take much time. I'm going to let me start off with this. So Brennan Johnson, Alexis McAllister, or Gibbs White, three players who really had a great season last year out from an FPL perspective, particularly McAllister, given that he had penalty duties at Brighton. But all these three players, I'm really not keen on any of these this season, at least to begin with, because of the fixtures for Nottingham Forest. They really have a tough set of fixtures to start with. So that kind of immediately puts me off for a 6 million price tag. I really don't want to go anywhere near Nottingham Forest. For McAllister, it is for me. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be on the penalties. It'll continue with.
15.4% ownership.
That's crazy number. I'll tell you, that is going to fall off the cliff pretty soon. He is going to take up, a more midfield solidification kind of a role. He's not going to be on the penalties, given that Salah is he's the
Salah.
king over there. So I don't expect McAllister to have a really great FPL asset. Most of his goals is to do with the penalties from last season. So I think people are overlooking that, and the 15% number is really crazy for me.
Yeah.
Any thoughts, or should we move on to the next guy?
Just wanted to add one thing, right? And because we are in middle of the transfer season, right? Brennan Johnson is very heavily being linked with Brentford. I think there are some discussions been going on, right? In case that transfer happens, because Nottingham Forest is loaded up front. I don't know how many players, and I've heard that Willian is also expected to sign. Because he's not renewing his contract with Fulham, so he's expected to sign for Nottingham Forest. So, a lot of players for them out wide. And Brennan Johnson, if he moves to Brentford, is someone that I'll be really excited about because
That's true.
He's a very pacey winger. He finishes well. He's a good scorer as well, right? And again, in that Brentford setup, which really works well on counters, I expect them to be way more mobile than they were with Tony, right? Because
Oh,
there's no Tony now for the first 6 months.
I'll never forget the way they counter, particularly the first game against Brentford last season for us. The way they scored their probably the fourth
Yeah.
goal, if I'm not wrong, that link up was it was too good to watch. All
Yeah,
right,
yeah. So,
let's skip to the next three players that we have. So Andres Pereira, Enciso, and Garnacho. So I really don't know where to begin with these three because they've been darlings at different stages. Not so for Garnacho, but at least the first two. Pereira has been our lifesaver, 4.5 million, the gift that kept giving last season, has a price bump of 1 million this season. So that kind of pushes him out of favor, if I can put it that way. But he might still be a very good pick at this price range, given that there is a good set of fixtures coming up for Fulham at some point. That is where it'll tempt me. Enciso's numbers kind of is crazy. 12 million, 12% ownership at this stage. I had Adam for a brief period last season, and he kind of delivered really well for me. But at the same time, for me, it is a wait and watch at this stage.
I remember those parts where you were really, really, excited about NCC, right?
Right. For me, this season, I think all these players are a wait and watch to see where things settle in. What are the other combinations that you want? How do you see these three?
So this is a funny FPL season, right? Because all if any other FPL season, you would love to have a 5.5 million guy like Pereira or Enciso, any other season. It's just that this season, because we have a lot of assets around 7.5 million, right? So last season it was all about big at the back. When we were starting, a lot of people had two Liverpool defenders. You had someone like Cancelo as well, right? So you had three. 6.5 million plus defenders and someone like Diaz or some City defender, right? So everyone is starting big at the back, and this season we have the magnificent middle, right? So everyone is going strong at the midfielders. I don't hate it. I think these are solid guys. Pereira is a very solid guy. We have seen him over one season, right? With and without Mitrovic, so fairly solid guy. Yeah, I don't like the fixtures a lot, but I think he's a good guy to start with. NCCO, I am personally, I love that player. It's so classy a player, right? So one big thing is something that we have to wait and watch is who plays that number 10 role for Brighton, right? Because now that McAllister has moved on to Liverpool, you have and they have signed Pedro, João Pedro for with I think transfer record signing 30 million plus, right? So João Pedro is a player who can play across multiple positions. He can play striker, he can play winger, he can play number 10. I saw a pod, I think, from a Brighton fan who said that he expects João Pedro to start as a number 10 and not Julio Enciso. I think that's crazy because I feel Julio Enciso is such a great asset. He's such a good player. I would rather have Pedro take Mars' place and play Enciso in the middle. But I don't know what RDZ is going to do. So I'm going to wait and watch for De Zerbi's, Brighton's midfielder. Preseason matches and then take a call. If he starts and if you are fairly certain he starts, I think there's a lot of value in the player, right? Again, we're talking about Sterling being a 9 million player with 7 million pricing, right? I think a Brighton number 10 player, Brighton number 10 starting player at 5.5 million is a gold because they are really good in attack and they have a very solid team. They are a very good coach. It's just that there are minor changes. They are expected to lose out on Caicedo as well sometime during this transfer season. Let's wait and see if that happens. If that happens, it might have some impact. And because of the pricing, again, I'm not jumping in with these kind of players. But if you have someone like Julio Enciso, right, like Eze Baye, I won't question you because these are good players and I know they'll find their way to give you points, right? I just want to ask you a bit because we have discussed in the Rashford segment around what can be the possible starting lineup. Is it possible, say, United don't sign a striker. And now that Garnacho has been vetted into the team, he has played one season on and off when it comes to starts, right? Do you see again Rashford moving in and maybe Garnacho taking in that number, you know, left wing slot, because he was doing really well from that area.
Oh yeah, see, again, it boils down to two players. If you ask me how things are going to pan out for United, is about the wingers, you know, be it Antony or be it Sancho. The ability of these two guys to quickly settle in and get going, if that happens, then we are, I would say we are fairly settled. If that's not happening, then I can see a lot of experimenting happening where Garnacho might get more time. So it is to do with these two positions. But Garnacho, is whenever he has come on, he has literally turned games for us. You know, he's still too young. He has a lot of energy. You know, I'm just waiting to see how well Ten Hag is going to use him, whether he's going to give him regular starts or still he's going to use him as an impact sub. So that's something boils down to these two positions, these two players for me. So I wouldn't really go right away to Garnacho. I just would say still wait and watch for a couple of games.
Yeah, one thing I also wanted to add is, again, we are so much into the transfer side of things, right? A lot of rumors have been coming in that Ten Hag does want Sancho to leave, right? Or he's on the transfer list. I just wanted to take your thoughts as a United fan. Do you think that will happen? Because if that happens, Garnacho becomes a much more, you know, probable starter in the United team.
No, I don't see that happening, to be honest. You know, there's a lot of other factors weighing in. So if you are losing out, do you have a replacement? If you go back last season, we were really thin on the backups that we have for each position. We really don't have much of a backup. If you are, you know, losing out on player like Sancho, I know Sancho is not, you know, performed to the level of United's expectations or the fans' expectations, but he's still a very good player and a Tyrone player where we can depend on. But I don't see that happening unless there is someone who is you know, positioned in to come in. And at the same time, it's not going to change anything with Garnacho as well.
Understood. Fair.
All right, let's wrap this up with the last, I believe this is the last set of players, if I'm not wrong. Any thoughts? I really don't want to dwell much into these.
I am really excited to see how Justin Kluivert, you know, comes in. His father was a legendary striker from, you know, Dutch striker. During my childhood, I used to love Patrick Kluivert. I remember when I was to play FIFA 2002, 2003, right, on my desktop. You know, back in my childhood, I used to always buy Patrick Kluivert, right? I was a big fan of the
that,
player.
That kind of gives your age out, Sankal, but that's fine. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm a bit old. Now you can understand that. But back in those days, I used to really love his father. And he's an interesting player. He's not exploded anywhere because I think he moved to Italy a couple of seasons back and didn't really catch on, right? But there's a talent there. He was highly rated growing up. So he's someone to wait and watch. Again, not a player to start with, but in case anyone has a draft where they are looking for, why are we discussing these names, right? The only reason we are discussing these names is because the people who will try to do Haaland plus Salah. There will be people who will try to do Haaland,
basically
Haaland plus Salah plus Trent. Haaland plus Salah plus Trent, right? So these are the budget enablers for us, right? So if you want to go heavy, because I remember doing a draft on Twitter where I did a three-man. I did Haaland plus Kane plus Salah. I didn't do Trent, but I did Haaland plus Kane plus Salah, right? And I had to really, you know, just see how good a team can I make. It was not something that I planned to start with. I just wanted to see, because the pricing is a bit more lenient this season, how good a team can I make. And I thought it was a decent squad. It surprised me how decent it was. And I put it on Twitter. And a lot of people saying, hey, you won't start with this. I said, yeah, I know. But there are going to be, you know, FPL managers who want to have fun, right? You just have to accept that not everyone plays FPL seriously. And that's completely fine. So if you are someone who wants to have fun with FPL, who want to bring in more strikers, more stars into your FPL squad, these are good FPL, you know, squad players. Someone a filler for you, for your team. Right? Justin Kluivert is a wait and watch, but he has all the potential to be a good player. I expect him to start. You know, the kind of quality, the kind of potential he has. I expect him to start for Bournemouth. Dwight McNeil, good player, right? I think in my mind, Everton will do better this season than they did last season, primarily because now the manager will start with his pre-season, right? Last year, he did not get his pre-season. This time, he will get, right? And I rate Sean Dyche as a manager. I know a lot of people don't. They just think Burnley used to play long balls, etc. I think he's a good manager who uses what he has, right? He's a good resource optimizer, right? And I think they will play a more fluent counter-attacking football than they were playing last season, right? They'll be a bit more coordinated. And we saw it towards the end. I think 5-1 was that the scoreline against Brighton, where they just cut them apart, right? Counter after counter. And but Dwight McNeil had like a hat-trick and a couple of assists or something. He had a crazy return, but very few of us had it. But
I still can't believe Dwight McNeil was my captain in game week 38 last season.
okay,
I'll still
that's
never
crazy.
get I'll still never get my head around that. Yeah, but yeah,
Yes.
I kind of
Maybe
expect
you're a
someone.
visionary. Maybe you're a visionary, Suresh.
No, but I just wanted to have fun. It was the last game week.
Next.
I really didn't have much to play on, so that was the reason. But anyways,
I had Odegaard and he blanked, so more or less we matched.
I think we are at the end of this for end of the stream. We touched
Yeah.
upon, started with the premium midfielder categories, then the mid-price midfielders, then the budget midfielders here. So I think this is a great discussion, Sankalp. Thank you. I think I kind of had a few insights out of this that really helped.
Midfield is going to be the segment which everyone is going to work a lot on, at least at the start of the season. You never know, things might switch a bit. We might have more forwards coming out during the season, right? Or more defenders doing better. But midfield is the area where you have a lot of opportunity. And traditionally, midfield has been the key area for FPL, right? For all the managers out there who are watching this pod, I hope we covered all the three segments well, right? Premium, mid-price, and budget. We are going to divide this entire video into two parts. Premium is going to be one, and then you have mid-price and budget in one segment, right? Please go through it. Please share your views on what you feel about these picks, right? In case you want to ask some questions, please put it in the comment section, right? Share it around, and please do like and subscribe this video. Thanks a lot.
Yep, thanks. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Sankalp.